This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The entire system is dedicated to bringing these people here and keeping these people here.
I voted for President Trump for a lot of reasons, but in 2016, 2020, and 2024, immigration was at the top of my list. I don't know if anyone's going to vote in November based on the tax cuts, to be honest.
We have discovered, though, that Anthony Fauci was having meetings with the higher-ups and that he influenced the outcome of this. We have one email from within the Intelligence Committee where they're having a discussion and they say, be careful about criticizing the Chinese.
What do we have to do in order to get people who are licensed as physicians, these aren't people who've just studied science for a couple of years, to change their minds?
All right, it's a little heavy, but I wanted to talk about this story because we cannot forget. We cannot allow ourselves to forget how insanely evil Democrats have become in the United States of America. I don't have to point to any other issue. I don't even have to talk about abortion or something like that. To purposely fill up the United States of America with dirtball foreigners, often violent, third world, crappy culture, to intentionally fill up your country with these people just so you can have political power, it's just so nakedly evil. And every time I turn on the news and find some wonderful American has been butchered by some monster Democrats brought in on purpose, it just fills me with rage. Did you see this story out of Utah? 71-year-old dude, decorated Air Force vet. We're talking Vietnam, Grenada, you name it. He was killed on his front porch. He was on his front porch hanging decorations, and some monster from El Salvador, brought into the country by the Biden administration. It's not just brought in by the Biden administration. They actually had their hands on him at some point in time and let him go. And he goes and butchers an American citizen, a 71-year-old veteran who fought for this country. And the stories are all over the United States of America. And every part, I mean, I mentioned Democrats specifically, but every part of the communist institution in this country supports this outright. You will hear open borders crap on university campuses. Of course, every single Democrat, stop ICE, eliminate ICE, they're all in on it. And the American media may be the most egregious offender because they will take cases like this one and they will ignore it completely. But then every time you turn on the news, there's some puff piece about some foreigner who may or may not get deported. This crap.
A woman's encounter with ICE in Chaparral is sparking concern. Take a look. The incident happened Wednesday morning at an AllSubs convenience store in Chaparral. Video posted by FitFam to Instagram indicates that the woman went into the store asking for help after she believed she was being followed by ICE agents. A short time later, Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Removal Operation agents can be seen speaking with her. A person in the Instagram's comments who identified themselves as a woman's daughter claimed her mother has lived legally in the United States for more than 35 years and had stopped for gas while on her way to a chemotherapy appointment. That person also claimed agents asked for proof of the appointment, and according to the family, the woman's doctor immediately provided the documentation and agents were reviewing the information. KTSM has not independently verified these claims.
Just in there for her cancer treatment. Just a grandma. She's been here a long time. Yeah, she's a meth trafficker. It's weird. They didn't focus on that, did they? The entire system is dedicated to bringing these people here and keeping these people here. You hear about that guy in Minnesota? Of course, he was brought in legally by the Clinton administration. I am, because I know that there are children watching, I am not going to elaborate on the things this monster did to a 10-year-old girl. 10 years old. Yeah, the governor of Minnesota gave him a pardon. Gave him a pardon. Marco Rubio, to his credit, Secretary of State Marco Rubio found out about this, grabbed him, and deported him. Now, you would think that would probably be the end of it. In fact, if you're at all a decent, normal human being, and you pardoned a sex offender, a child sex offender, you'd think that would probably be not your proudest moment, right? Once the guy got arrested and deported, you'd probably say, all right, well, phew, at least that's out of the news. Oh, no, 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 no. These people were demonic.
Did that make us any safer? Did that make the children that are left behind any more stable? Did it improve the idea that we can't all be judged by our worst day? And I want to be very clear, these are horrific crimes. They often are.
What? We can't be judged by our worst day? When your worst day involves sexually abusing a 10-year-old girl, I don't really need to hear about any of your other days ever. But if you're a Democrat, because these people represent power, they're power for you. They want to bring them all here, all of them, every single one. You hear Minnesota's attorney general? Here he was.
Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of people who were not 18 years old in the last election. There's a whole lot of people who were not naturalized citizens in the last election. There's a whole lot of people who sat it out because of whatever reason in the last election. But you know what? We're going to get them all this election.
It's not complicated. It's really unbelievably simple. And if we have the courage, we can save the country. Here's how simple it is. With the mass importation of foreigners, bringing them here and keeping them here, we will have communism all across the United States of America because the foreigners will come in, they will be given generous gifts by Democrats, they will vote for Democrats, and we will have a communist country. With the mass deportation of foreigners, the kooky demonic Democrat Party disappears almost entirely. It becomes a 20% party. We have blue states, states that you think of as blue, that will turn red overnight. With the mass deportation of foreigners, we save the United States of America, and without it, we're done. Now, to the Trump administration, I want to make sure I give them some credit. They are launching the largest ever denaturalization effort. Now, okay, what's this about? It's 10 guys right now. They're child molesters and scammers. It's 10 guys. I'm not sitting here pretending to you that all is saved and all is well because we deported 10 people or we denaturalized 10 people. What I am saying is at least it's a start. At least it's a start. Isn't that sad? 10 is the largest one ever, but it's a start. We have a long way to go to root out the anti-Americanism in the United States of America. We could start with this guy.
I got stopped by a cop who thought I was like making fun of Mao Zedong, which I never would and never will. Mao Zedong is one of the great leaders of this world, okay? A man who changed the entire universe, the entire planet. Okay? For real, for real? Yes. I mean, there was a lot of f***ing excesses, let's be real, but the People's Republic of China would not exist without Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong killed 60 million people. Largest mass murderer in history. That's how these people think. Now, I want to play one more for you. In case you doubt what I said about how simple it is, mass deport foreigners, we save the country. Mass import foreigners, we get communism. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of Melat Kiros. She's telling you right now.
I think it's particularly important, not just for our community in Tigray, but communities of the global south, period. right? There's a certain reckoning that we are going to have with the global world order as it exists today and the way that it fundamentally will have to shift going forward, right? The responsibility that we have as Americans, the recognition that is going to be required of us, of the exploitative and extractive nature that we play on the global scale and the global stage, is only going to be challenged if we are getting represented by people who understand that on a fundamental level, right? And that means getting more immigrants into office. That means getting more people who have heritage in the global South into office, because that's where those decisions are made specifically.
They know. They understand what the key to victory is. It would be nice if the GOP as a whole understood it as well. Get these people out of my country to save the country. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Tommy Loren joins us with the wonderful Outkick in just a moment. But before we get to her, I want to talk to you about high interest debt. You have some. Doesn't it suck? Doesn't it weigh you down? 20-30%. When you're paying that much for interest on things, it just sucks. And it feels impossible, doesn't it? It feels like you will never escape, but you will escape. You will, because you're going to get a hold of American Financing. Do you have a mortgage and high interest debt? You can get out. American Financing has heard all the horror stories. Maybe you think you're some special case where it's extra bad. They've heard it all, and they've been carving people a path to freedom, a path out for a long time. Go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. We'll be back. We are constantly having to deal with traitors in our midst when it comes to deportation. This is what you want. It's what I want. Even if you don't want it, it doesn't matter. It's the only way to save the United States of America. We can win if we get these people out. It's so mind-numbingly frustrating how many betrayers we have on our own side. Washington Post just came out and said Mark Wayne Mullen, you know, these people in the administration, they're sitting down with trade groups who are concerned. What are they concerned about? Deporting foreigners. That's what they're concerned about. So trade groups are meeting out in the open with the administration, admitting they break the law. There's no other way to take it than this. Joining me now is someone I know who's probably more fired up about this than I am, Tommy Loren, host of Fearless on the wonderful Outkick. Tommy, it seems like we have to deal with this every 6 months, some dirty traitor in the GOP trying to slip something by us so we don't have to deport foreigners.
Yeah, I mean, again, I voted for President Trump for a lot of reasons, but in 2016, 2020, and 2024, immigration was at the top of my list, but especially in 2024 after Biden let in, you know, pretty much a good chunk of the third world into our country. And then we voted on getting those people out. And, you know, when I listened to President Trump at his rallies, I heard the largest mass deportation operation in American history. I didn't just hear the worst of the worst. I didn't just hear, well, we're going to target the bad guys. I heard we're going to have a mass deportation operation. So then when I hear the numbers, which we finally got, by the way, that it's like 350K in almost a year, that doesn't sound very mass to me, Jesse, and I'm underwhelmed, at the very best, underwhelmed.
Tommy, if I can paint a dark picture here for a moment, because when Greg Bovino got sacked after the communists ran that op in Minnesota that had a couple street animals get killed, we dumped Greg Bovino, we dumped Kristi Noem, and we brought in Mark Wayne Mullen. Everyone loves, you know, he's an MMA fighter, but he's been a squishy rhino wuss his entire time in the Senate, and now he's the head of DHS. And it's the first interview he gives, Tommy, is, our goal is to not be in the headlines, as if that is a real goal for anyway. Are we seeing muted deportations because Mark Wayne Mullen isn't up to the job, or is this coming right from Trump's White House? Why aren't we getting what we have voted for?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's President Trump. At least I hope it's not President Trump. And I was happy to see President Trump step in last week after the rightful outcry over that pause in, you know, the traffic or the vehicle stops. President Trump intervened and said, no, we're going to be doing vehicle stops, which I was happy to see. Now, from what I'm told, it's, well, we have to have a body camera. At least one agent has to have a body camera, but not all agents have body cameras. So, yes, you're going to be rolling back the traffic and the vehicle stops, which I'm not happy about. I think it's a complete capitulation to the left. I don't know who wanted that. I'm hearing maybe Susan Collins is the one that wanted that. Maybe that Secretary Mullen was listening to Susan Collins more so than the 77 million Americans who voted for President Trump. I don't know if that's the case, but I have my suspicions. I don't know if Secretary Mullen is up to the job, but when I hear that he's meeting with big labor and big ag in that lobby, and he hasn't been meeting necessarily with what we call the mass deportation coalition, yeah, it makes me nervous. And we heard it from the likes of Mike Lawler and others about, well, we can't even deport the TPS holders, the Haitian TPS holders, because then we won't have a healthcare industry. You know, that's what they tell us over and over again. We won't have farms, we won't have healthcare workers, we won't have truck drivers. I'm thinking, what did we do before we imported the third world to this country? Well, Americans had those jobs. I think it sounds pretty good to go back to that, Jesse.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Imagine that, America being for Americans. What a concept. And that actually brings me perfectly into this little bill they tried to slip in the back door, or maybe they are going to slip it in. Amnesty in the Farm Bill. Not one or two Republicans, Tommy, 47, I believe, last time I looked, 47 Republicans trying to slip in amnesty. Does the GOP not understand that this is the path to their complete elimination?
They're gonna understand it because people are gonna get loud about this. You know, this is what they always do as well. They say they campaign on mass deportations, America first, secure the border, and they ride on the coattails of that agenda. And then they get in office, we put them in office, and they do nothing. They don't pass the Save America Act for election integrity. Then they slip things in the farm bill like this. They want de facto amnesty. They call it dignity. But what they really want is these giant ag and labor-based corporations to have cheap labor forever. And they pass it off as like the American farmer, or the American rancher wants this. That's bull. It's not the family farms and the family ranches and the people that are hiring Americans and feeding their families, legacy cattlemen. Those aren't the people that want illegal aliens working for them. It's these big corporations, big factory farms, some of them owned by China, by the way, that they're capitulating to. But they do it because that's their donor base. So I actually think that we could peel off some of these DSA people, or the people that are voting for these DSA socialist candidates. I actually think we could peel some of them off if we share with them that big corporations, you know, they say they hate the millionaires and they hate the billionaires. Well, what about the big corporations that are using illegal aliens as their permanent serf class? Aren't you mad at them? I think maybe we could peel some of them off and get them to vote for true America first conservatives. Going to be a longer endeavor, but I think it's worth a try.
I do too. Tommy, the president gave a speech the other night, an address, which, of course, most of the networks didn't even bother caring. And it really is, it looks like the biggest scandal in American history, not trying to be over the top about it, but China getting involved, the intelligence agencies covering up China's involvement in an election, removing Donald Trump, installing Joe Biden. It looks like the biggest scandal in American history, and it's already forgotten about. I mean, they didn't even talk about it the next morning. It's just gone.
But, you know, as much as I agree that this needs to be further discussed, I would also say the administration, and I'm not saying President Trump personally, but the voices chirping in his ear in the administration, they can't expect us to care about Chinese interference if they don't also care about some of these visas that they're giving to the students and the foreign workers, and if they're not serious about election integrity and voter fraud, and they're not serious about mass deportation. So they can't expect us to care about that speech if they're not doing the long list of things that need to be done to help take a crack at those things. So I don't think they can have it both ways. I do think it's a massive scandal. I think it deserves to be talked about. But, you know, what are the things we can control in 2026? Well, we gave you the list of them, so why don't we get to work?
Okay, that actually brings me perfectly to the midterms. I am concerned for a variety of reasons, but maybe the simplest one is the left is obviously motivated. They'll crawl across broken glass naked to vote against Republicans this November. Republicans are demoralized. They just are. I don't talk to people who are excited about November.
Yeah, No, you're right about that. And it's a lot to do with, I think, mass deportations. I will say this. If Republicans get absolutely clobbered in the midterms, it won't be because we had too many deportations. That won't be it. I know that there are some folks that live perpetually online and maybe watch CNN. They're like, oh, Republican voters are mad that we're, you know, our tactics on deportation are too rough. No. Said no one ever who's actually voting for Republicans. And people think, oh, well, you know, the Iran conflict, maybe that's going to play into it a little bit. I think there are people that are rightfully so frustrated with that endeavor. But I think, you know, the deliverables that we can actually achieve, they have to be high on the list. And that's election integrity. I wish we would have gotten a different outcome on the anchor babies. But mass deportations, that's within our control, right? And they're not happening. So I think that you're going to have Republicans that say, wait a second, I voted in 24. We have a Republican House, a Republican Senate. We have a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. We have a Republican in the White House. But I didn't get the most basic things that I voted for. And then they tout, you know, the extension of the tax cuts. I don't know if anyone's going to vote in November based on the tax cuts, to be honest with you, Jesse.
All right. Look, I can't let you go without asking about 2028. I think AOC is going to make some noise. If she can avoid getting fat, I could see her being the VP pick as some kind of an attempt to stiff arm the left flank and the Democrats. What say you?
You know, that's an interesting thought. I saw that you posted about that. I just do think, though, that some of the establishment Democrats are going to snuff out these DSA people and these socialist people. I think they see it as a threat to their own power. And if there's anything that they will do to maintain their power, they will be able to sideline people like Bernie Sanders and AOC. And then I also think that you're going to have a hard time with AOC because she's a lot like Kamala in that maybe some folks on social media like her. They might go to her rallies. But you ask her a question like the other day about abolishing the Senate, and she said, well, yeah, because that's based on Jim Crow. When you don't have a basic mastery of, you know, historical timelines, that's going to be a big hurdle to overcome in the next couple of years. Even if she's got the social media following, there's going to be some things that are going to be a challenge.
Yeah, she's going to have to do a lot of reading. I suspect that's going to be a problem. Tommy, I appreciate you. Come back. All right. Senator Rand Paul, he's upset. He has every right to be upset. Did you see this story that Rand Paul exposed about the FBI running cover for a guy who was involved in COVID crossing the border? It's, man, it looks dirty. We'll talk to the senator about it in a moment. Before we talk to him, I want to talk to you about your wireless company. Did they hire Americans? I'm just asking. I know you've had to get a hold of somebody, a customer service. Did that sound like an American? It didn't. You know it didn't. They hire foreigners. This has become the thing that all these big corporations do. They hire foreigners. Well, Pure Talk will not only save you a fortune, Pure Talk hires Americans. When you have to talk to somebody at Pure Talk, they speak English and they're nice and helpful, actually making your life easy. Pure Talk's on the same 5G network. There's no reason not to switch. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. I am never going to get over COVID. I've told you that many times before. The tyranny we saw in this country because we got a virus is something that should have never happened. Obviously, I want accountability like you want accountability. Sadly, most of Washington, D.C. wants to move on because most of Washington, D.C. was complicit. Somebody, and I will always respect him for this, who was not, was a senator from Kentucky named Rand Paul, and he joins us now. Senator, okay, so I need you to unpack the latest for me. The FBI, Border Patrol, a Fauci ally, what did they do?
You know, this is pretty extraordinary. We've been through mountains of evidence, and I want to thank Secretary Kennedy for allowing most of this information to be exposed. But one of the things we discovered is that back in 2021, they were looking at DAZAC. So Peter Daszak is a scientist that had his entity was called EcoHealth, and they got $100 million or so over many years to work with Chinese scientists to create viruses that don't exist in nature. And we think one of these viruses ultimately became COVID. But he was going back and forth across the border, and the Border Patrol had an investigation of him, perhaps transporting things illegally, perhaps transporting even infectious viruses back and forth across the border. There was an investigation. They were going to stop and interrogate him. And at some point, they were overruled by Christopher Wray's FBI. We don't know why, but we do know that it was in motion. It was set in motion. They were at an inflection point in an airport. It was going to happen until it finally wasn't. I suspect higher-ups, maybe even all the way up to the FBI director, had something to do with this. We haven't been able to uncover that because, like most intel agencies, they resist any kind of oversight. So they have not sort of delivered to us information of why. But we do know that the FBI vetoed this investigation of this scientist who was doing dangerous research with the Chinese.
Senator, can you maybe elaborate a little bit more on why we are still getting interference from the intel agencies when we have new leadership at these intel agencies? I know the very nature of an organization like FBI, CIA is, as you said, going to protect itself, but we're supposed to have this new leadership with accountability and things like that. How's there still interference?
This may be shocking to you, Jesse, but there is a deep state, and this deep state exists whether they're Republicans or Democrats. The people who oversee the deep state are part of the deep state. So you don't get selected to be on the Intel Committee unless you are an apologist for the deep state and unconcerned with civil liberties and that you're a 100% supporter of clandestine power to look at any and all information of private citizens. That's who gets on the Intel Committee. There are very few exceptions. Ron Wyden is a progressive from the left, but he is interested in civil liberties, and he has been a skeptic of intelligence power. Virtually everyone else isn't. They spend time protecting, and I'll give you an example of how bad this is. I've been wanting to read the classified report from 1976 of the Church Commission. The Church Commission investigated abuses that J. Edgar Hoover was doing on two Americans at the FBI for 50-some-odd years. And there's a classified annex, and it's around. We know where it was. We found it. We located. And then they've prevented me from reading it. And it's 50 years old. It's supposed to be released not only to me, but to the public. But the Intel Committee, Tom Cotton and others, are holding this and won't let us see it. So you can imagine when it comes to what the intel agencies did over the last couple of years, they're very jealously guarding this. Now, Tulsi Gabbard was very good at trying to get some of this released. We did discover that the CIA early on in 2021 met, their scientists met, they studied the issue, and they came to the conclusion that the virus appeared to have leaked from a Chinese lab. In public, though, they came out with the opposite. They came out with, well, we lean towards nature. We have discovered, though, that Anthony Fauci was having meetings with the higher-ups and that he influenced the outcome of this. We've also discovered that virtually every scientist who has written on this subject that Anthony Fauci commissioned were also working for the intel agencies. Many of these people are paid intel ops. So then the intel, the CIA or the FBI would say, well, we need scientific experts. Who do we get? Oh, well, the guy that's already on our payroll that Fauci has already co-opted to give the official state version was nothing to see here. We have mountains of evidence of these scientists in private saying, of course, it looks like it came from the lab. We have one of the authors of the paper saying it couldn't come from the lab, saying in private at the same time, he was 90% convinced that it came from the lab. We have another author of Proximal Origin saying, gosh, we've got a real problem here. We got to curate these emails. What does he mean by curate? Destroy, delete. You know, we have Anthony Fauci saying the same thing, all against the law. But the good news is, he's not getting away scot-free. People in history are going to record him, and we are going to ask questions, and we will seek the truth next week in Homeland Security Committee.
You know, we'll actually get to that hearing in a moment. I'm just curious about this concept, Senator. So I'm doing the best I can not to create some ham-fisted Netflix political drama in my head. It's not hard to figure out why the Chinese would lie about the virus, where it came from. And it's not hard to figure out why Fauci would, because obviously he was involved in it somehow, some way. What I'm really struggling with is why our intelligence agencies were so apparently invested in getting involved in this cover-up, covering for China or Fauci? What am I missing?
We have one email from within the Intelligence Committee where they're having a discussion and they say, be careful about criticizing the Chinese having militarized this and having military sciences in it, because you realize we do the same. We had another interview with a high-ranking appointee to be involved in our government. And when we asked her about her previous work with bioweapons, I said, well, what are the limits? And she said, well, anything we think the Chinese are doing, we should do. And so many of these things, like, let's say Ebola. Ebola is transmitted mostly like AIDS. It can get in the air a little bit, but really only probably a foot or so. It's not like COVID and can be transmitted across the room. So with Ebola, it would probably be very dangerous to do experiments to weaponize it by aerosolizing it, by mutating it purposely so it'll spread throughout a whole room and would be, you know, spread around the world like an influenza virus. And so that kind of experiment would be very dangerous. You think we should never do that. But the argument will be within the intel community, well, the Chinese are doing it. The Chinese also have done experiments to try to racially target their viruses. Now, I don't know if they've been successful. Many think they haven't. But there are experiments and discussions to try to make a virus more apt to attack people outside of the realm of their ethnicity.
Okay, Senator, now to this hearing, you mentioned it. I'm sure you are licking your chops for this one. July 29th, Fauci has to sit down and get asked some questions. What's coming?
He will be under oath, and he's compelled to tell the truth. If he doesn't tell the truth, there are repercussions. He was pardoned for a 10-year period. This is an extraordinary pardon. The only other person in history we know to get a pardon like this would be Hunter Biden. So if nothing else in history, he'll be remembered as in the same category as Hunter Biden, receiving a vague pardon over a 10-year period. But when he comes to testify, he'll be under oath, and anything he says there can be judged and will have to be judged as to whether he's telling the truth. He will be asked again about funding gain-of-function research, which I believe he lied about the first time. But he also this time will be asked about deleting and destroying records and compelling or seeking others to delete and destroy records. We do know that one of his colleagues has been indicted. David Morenz has been indicted for telling others to delete messages and destroying federal messages. So this isn't without precedent, and a lot will hinge on his testimony, how he decides to respond when asked whether he destroyed records or not. There will also be questions about his pardon. Did he discuss them with the president? Is the president aware of who he is? Does he have a first name basis such that the president had an awareness? Were the discussions with the technician who ran the auto pen? Who were the discussions with? What crimes did he seek relief from? So there's a lot of questions we have about the pardon as well. So we'll be asking about the pardon, about funding gain-of-function research and destroying federal records.
Senator, I absolutely cannot wait to watch you go at this guy. This is going to be the Super Bowl for me. I appreciate you very much. Go get him. Rand Paul is going to tear that guy apart. We'll see if anything comes of it. I'm not sitting here making promises. You know, Fauci's going to prison. I'm not saying that, but it's valuable. If nothing else, at least we get to destroy the man's reputation. He deserves that. You deserve chalk. You deserve natural herbal supplements that'll make you feel good all the time. It's like, you know when you drink a lot of coffee? I drink coffee. You know when you drink too much of it? And yeah, you're awake, but kind of jittery and just, I mean, I don't even think you'd really call it good energy. You're awake. You're not going to fall asleep at your desk, but you don't feel great. When you start, I take a male vitality stack from Chalk. When you start Chalk, it's good energy all the time, not just when you sip a cup of coffee. Natural herbal supplements are our path forward. They have things for men, things for women. They have pre-workouts. They have chocolate powder for the mornings, packed with vitamins and minerals. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and get a subscription. We'll be back.
Say! Stop! Mass tickling me! Just say she! Why do you let those kids get away with this? They are not supposed to be here!
If you don't lower your voice, I am going to put handcuffs on you and I'm going to take you to a Baker Act facility. You lower your voice,
try it.
Are you threatening me?
You're threatening me.
Can we get another unit to deal with Jay Lee here? He is having a breakdown.
Say! Say! Just say the right pronoun!
What'd you say?
Joining me now, Dr. Kevin Roberts, president of the Wonderful Heritage Foundation and author of the book Higher Education in America, which we'll get to. Okay, doctor, honestly, it's just extremely sad to me. Every time I see somebody like that young man right there, I think about how many people have lied to that young man and manipulated that young man. And now, I mean, I don't know how old he is. I'm guessing in his 20s, a lot younger than me, and he's just broken.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear you, Jesse, because I know you see these things as a dad first and foremost, agree with how I see it, which is why I saw that a few times earlier today. And I thought a little bit about my experience as a professor, as a teacher, head of school, but mostly as a dad. And I actually said out loud to my staff, I said, who in that man's life, and let's be honest, that's a man, who in that man's life failed him? Was it his parents? Was it some goofball psychologist? Was it a teacher who did this behind his parents' back? Ultimately, though, this is such a widespread scourge on not just American society, but we have to humanize it on people like him, that we realize it is a significant issue that we have to overcome. It is not just something that you see occasionally. You see videos like this. You read stories about this. I mean, we're talking about, and I mean this charitably toward this fellow human person, that young man, an utter mental breakdown where you're worried about his life. That's what the radical left and quote-unquote science has given us.
How far have we come to rooting this out of our institutions? And I'm glad you brought this up because these are the ones I'm worried about. I'm worried about our medical institution. I'm worried about the shrinks in this country. I'm worried that so much of this stuff is still institutionalized, if you'll pardon the pun. And so these people are going to keep being abused.
Well, we've made a lot of progress. I'd say we're about halfway there. I remember, for example, I think it was 2017, I was working in Texas at the time, working in the with the Texas legislature with another think tank, and we were working on the Texas version of the so-called bathroom bill, and we were on the right side of that, which is to say that boys are only boys and girls are only girls. And ultimately, some of the most effective testimony by scientists, by doctors on the wrong side, carried the vote that particular year. It went the wrong way. And I asked my staff then, I said, what do we have to do in order to get people who are licensed as physicians? These aren't people who've just studied science for a couple of years to change their minds. Well, fast forward 9 years later, as we sit here having this conversation in 2026, and a lot of those physicians have changed their tune. We're still waiting for, you know, the real change with the American Medical Association and the Psychiatric Association. But to your question, Jesse, as it relates to K-12 schools, universities, other associations, the public policy pressure brought on not only by the Trump administration, but by a lot of really courageous governors on this question, DeSantis in Florida, Governor Abbott in Texas actually has been really good on this, have caused some really good progress. But I'll conclude by saying this, we haven't finished it. We still have a lot of progress to make because there are a lot of institution leaders who are holding out for when the bad guys, the left, are back in power.
Speaking of institutional leaders, let me introduce everybody to the chancellor of UC San Francisco. Here he was.
Of course, the vast majority of pregnancies are in women, and I have absolutely no problem with using the word pregnant women. I use it myself.
Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
A transgender person can.
That's not a biological woman. Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
I would reiterate,
it's ridiculous.
Doctor, tell me about this book you wrote.
The book that I was happy to co-edit with my friend Chris Rufo on higher education covers all of the aspects of the problems with higher education. We might look at it, for example, from the standpoint of economics. The federal government, of course, along with some other factors, have caused the price of higher education to increase dramatically. We look at it also through the lens of, you know, what do you do about the bureaucratic disease, in which we spend three or four times the amount of money on bureaucrats than we do on professors and teachers. But the other aspect that we cover is the one that we're talking about today, which is the cultural aspect. How is it that one of the largest institutions in the world, American higher education, has institutionalized nonsense, whether it be Marxism, whether it be transgender ideology? Unfortunately, this is an industry that I know well. I cut my teeth after finishing my graduate work at the University of Texas, not known for its conservatism, and realized that all of the incentives in higher education, whether it is from the standpoint of the administration or from the standpoint of a young faculty member, or now from the standpoint of undergraduate students, is to be as weird and absurd as possible, rather than actually inculcating values and teaching the skills that students need in order to go out into the workforce and be citizens. The good news, though, is that we don't just talk about what's bad in this book. We talk about some solutions, and not just theories, but solutions that both states as well as the federal government have implemented. I actually think there is real hope for cautious optimism about the reform of higher ed, as we talk about in this book.
I am so glad you wrote it, and I'm glad there is some optimism, because I've been so sour on this critical institution. It's critical to have our higher education. Not that I would know, I wasn't qualified to get on any of these campuses, but I do know that it's critical to have it for a country. Doctor, you've lived, you worked inside the belly of that beast. You just wrote the book, Higher Education, on it. If there are parents watching right now with kids close to college age, and maybe that kid has dreams, maybe he wants to be a dentist or something weird like that, where he has to go to college, what advice would you give these parents?
I would tell them that the vast majority of colleges, and by that I mean 98 or even 99% of them, Jesse, I mean that statistic, 99% of them are exactly the same. It doesn't matter what their reputation is, the prestige is. Do what you can and go save money. Have your student, if they want to be a dentist or they want to be an engineer, save a lot of money by starting at the local junior or community college. I can tell you that there the instruction is going to be better. There's going to be literally less time in the classroom for the DEI woke nonsense, because the focus is on teaching those students. And then when they've completed their associate's degree, they can move on to a four-year university. Most states have these programs where you are automatically admitted with a certain GPA from a state community college into one of the four-year universities. Do that. I will also say, for those of us who are able to consider certain private schools, that there are really good private schools like Grove City College, Hillsdale College, the college where I was president, Wyoming Catholic College, various religious affiliations, but there are only about 50 or 60 of those. So I would say either community college or one of those colleges. And if you're one of those parents, ask the hard questions. Let me also give them some practical advice. Don't accept the sticker price. All of the tuition, all of the fees are negotiable. Every single one of those colleges wants students and wants families who actually will work hard and be aligned with the school mission.
I did not know until just now that you could negotiate these prices. That is amazing. Not that either of my sons are going to be able to get into college, but that's another story. Okay, doctor, before I let you go here, Cuba. State Department just put out quite a report on Cuba with some serious allegations. What's this all about?
Well, you would expect the president of a really large policy organization to be ecstatic about something that sounds as boring as a Cuba white paper. But let me tell you, this is a game changer, because the thesis of this starts with Fidel Castro's comment in 1958, 1 year before the revolution, that the Cuban Revolution wasn't just about his own country. It was about, quote unquote, something bigger and broader. The bottom line is this, and this matters to every single person watching this show, Jesse. Cuba has been, for 60 years, the head of the snake. Whether it's Venezuela and Hugo Chavez and Maduro, whether it is Iran, whether it is a number of African countries that had communist revolutions, Cuba has funded them. There were 32 Cuban agents inside Maduro's compound when the American military arrived there in Caracas in early January. This paper lays it all out. It's beautifully written. And I would be remiss if I didn't compliment my heritage friend and colleague, Mike Gonzalez, himself a refugee from Cuba as a young man to this country. He's now a proud American for having contributed many, many years to our understanding of how bad that regime is.
I love Cubans. And I hate almost everybody. Cubans, they're just awesome people. Doctor, I appreciate you. I'm back.
Thanks, man.
We have light in the mood. Next. Social shame is extremely underrated. And there's a way of enforcing standards in society that doesn't involve, you know, telling the teacher, calling the police. It's up to all of us. All of us. Now, there are kind ways to do it. There are some pretty forward ways to do it. But for this Cubs fan, maybe he had a couple beers. He was having none of this dude sitting during the national anthem. I'm not recommending it. Don't go around slapping strangers, but still, that's funny. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.